Hello, RMU fans, and welcome back to another edition of The Dig, second episode of the season covering Robert Morris volleyball. Austin Bechtold and Tyler Gallo alongside with you. And Robert Morris finally was able to get on the court after 431 days, returning to the UPMC Event Center to face Oakland, first game ever in the Horizon League. And the series against Oakland did not go over very well. Colonials dropping the first match of the series in five sets, 28-26. Oakland lost the first set. Colonials were able to take that one, their first ever set in Horizon League competition, before dropping the next two, 25-12 and 25-22. Taking the fourth set, 25-22, before dropping the fifth and final set, 15-11, on Monday, January 25th. Followed by a Tuesday night sweep. Colonials getting swept 25-23, 25-16, and once again 25-23 in the third set. So, Tyler, what were your takeaways with the team now 0-2? And we saw Emma Granger go down before the season even began in warmups.
Well, you know, it was tough, but I do like that they, you know, were able to get that first set knocked out of the way. Just you can tell that Oakland prepared for them to have both Alfano and Granger, who also was out. Granger went down with an ankle injury in warmups. She limped off, and then she was seen on the bench all weekend in a boot. So that's not good for the future.
Crutches as well.
Yeah, crutches, and Coach Starr said that she would be held out after the first game. So, yeah, I mean, they responded. They didn't really seem like they needed them in that first set, coming back and doing pretty well, but the remainder of that was not good. They just got absolutely blasted by Patty Cesarini from Oakland, who led in both kills and points in both games, the freshman. So she had a really good weekend and really just put both nails in the coffin for the Colonials.
Yeah, that's right. Patty Cesarini really, really did dominate for Oakland, had pretty good games. And, you know, the Golden Grizzlies were not the only team to have star freshmen on their roster that weekend, with Annie Monaco and Emma Brown, as well as Abby Ryan, all playing for the Colonials, all three freshmen, and they all played pretty well.
Yeah, all of them looked like they had played with this team forever. I mean, they slotted in nicely, especially Abby Ryan, who had a really, really good weekend on both sides of the ball. And it just shows that this team, even though they lost, they're able to have resiliency with these freshmen coming in and maybe not really miss a beat. Granted, they're not going to replicate the production of Granger Alfano. It's really hard to do that, but they did as well as they could.
Yeah, and some of the numbers from the first game for the Colonials, Allison Londot played really well. She had 11 kills. That led the Colonials in their first game. And Alyssa Hudak, as always, with a pretty nice performance. 39% hitting percentage, ended up with 10 kills. And just some other numbers, like we mentioned with the freshmen. Emma Brown had 6 kills, and Abby Ryan, actually not one, but led the team with 12 kills and had a bunch of attempts. 37 total attacks, played pretty well and was pretty solid. And I was kind of surprised to be able to see the freshmen really come into their own early on, and especially being in the starting lineup. When I looked at that original starting lineup that the Colonials put out there, I was pretty surprised by who was in it and who was not in it. Not having Nicolette Zanoli in the lineup as well, for reasons we're not really aware of unless you learn something else from talking to Coach Starr. But not having Zanoli, not having Granger, and not having Alfano, and the Colonials still took the Golden Grizzlies to five sets in the first game, first match.
Yeah, it was weird because Zanoli was also taken out of the remainder of the Oakland game after the second set. So I don't know if she's dealing with like an injury of some sort or something that hampers her ability to be the dominant force she is, getting digs that she normally is. But it was just weird, especially not having the players we're accustomed to in the lineup. And the lineup did set up. I'm pretty proud of the freshmen, how they did, and also Hudak and Londot stepping up as the more senior leaders on this team. Not being seniors, but stepping up in the absence of the couple better players that were held out of this game.
Yeah, and Elena Carmody led the Colonials with 21 digs, followed by setter Whitney Brown's 19 in that first match. And, you know, I'd like to say that it was a pretty good game overall, just for Robert Morris to be able to find their way in the Horizon League, obviously the first contest is going to be pretty difficult to be able to get in there, especially against pretty new competition, a higher level of competition, if you will, as well now being in the Horizon League. Serving was pretty good for the Colonials as well. We had a couple service aces, 7 total on the day. So 3 by Lisa Hudak leading the way. Andy Monaco had 2. Carmody had 1, as well as Whitney Brown. So the serving, which usually is dominated by Granger and the constant aces that she's able to put up there, it's good to see that that trend pretty much continued as well, even though they were outserved with the Golden Grizzlies putting up 11 service aces as well.
Absolutely. And I think Whitney Brown definitely stepped up in the absence of Granger and Alfano too. She will continue to put up gaudy assist numbers as she always does. That's her job. But she was able to step in and getting the important digs and also serving pretty well. And she had a great weekend. She's also another one of those firecrackers on this offense. She's a good pump up player out there. It's good to watch all these players play, and hopefully that they'll recover from the injuries by the UIC series.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, Patty Cesarini just completely dominated that second matchup against Robert Morris. 16 kills. 16 kills in the second match.
In just 3 sets.
Yeah, I know. In just 3 sets. Pretty impressive. Great performance by her, especially when looking at the sheets here, she didn't even play in the first matchup. Is that right?
Yeah, she didn't play as much as she did in the third game or in the second game. I think she would come in like late in sets and try to close them out. Brittany Welch was having a really good first game, but Cesarini still was able to come on in the late goings of the first game as well. So that's a good player for Oakland, and one that Army's gonna have to watch out for years to come as they take on each other.
Yeah, I didn't even see much production, if any, from her at all in that first set, but in the first matchup. But second one, yeah, Cesarini completely dominated the Colonials, and they really had no answer, frankly, at all for what she was able to do.
Yeah, they made also in that first matchup, they made a lot of unforced errors in that second set when they lost in that 25-12. And Coach Starr said as long as they can rebound from those errors and come and work on it in practice and watch film and all that, they'll be good to go by next week by the time that they take on the Flames in Chicago.
Yeah, and pretty interesting just looking at some of these some of the box scores that RMU provided. They had Kennedy Dolmage at 21 as number 21 in the first game, but then had Patty Cesarini at number 21 in the second game. So that's pretty interesting there, and not exactly sure what's up there, but we move forward. And as well that the Colonials have to do, what do you think they have to do to be able to move on going to Chicago to face UIC to begin the month of February? Monday, February 1st, beginning at 7 p.m. Eastern time, is going to start at 6 o'clock in the Central Time Zone, followed by a matchup on Tuesday as well at UIC. Who do you think needs to step up, and what are you looking forward to in this matchup?
Well, I think if Zanoli's in, she needs to make more of an impact on the court. She didn't really make too much of an impact in her 2 sets that she was in, 2.5 or however right. long she was in.
Yeah,
definitely
her 2 sets is a little better.
And then, of course, the freshmen need to continue to do well. And then, obviously, Londot and Hudak need to continue their dominance out there on the court. I'm looking at these players, all the ones. I mean, there's really anybody on this team can step up and have a good game, and it'll bode well for the Colonials.
Yeah, I agree. I think that you gotta get some of that leadership from some of your veterans. And we saw Skylar Clemens played really well. We saw Alyssa Hudak play pretty well as well. She was especially good later on in the second game. We saw her being able to put up some points when not many other players on the roster were able to. But you mentioned Zanoli, and I don't really understand. She didn't play the third set. I don't really get what's going on there. I don't know if, like you mentioned, maybe she's hurt. Maybe she's battling through an injury. Maybe she just hasn't gotten her timing down since it's been basically a year and a half since the team's been back out there. But I really do wonder why that is. And, you know, the freshman playing so well, you really wonder, you're going to have to find a place to put Annie Monaco, especially Abby Ryan. Abby Ryan's playing probably the best of anybody on the team right now. What do you think what do you think Coach Starr's thinking right now as he sees these star freshmen and two of his better, probably his two best players out right now? What do you think the mindset is?
You know, he's probably happy that he has such great depth going forward, but he's probably also just like, they threw a wrench into our game plan now without having these two players, because obviously Alfano and Granger are the lifeblood of this offense. There's no question of that. And, you know, without them, this team is sort of just another middling team in the conference, and there's really nothing they can do about it. It's not, but if somebody steps up in their absence, it's got to be the freshman. And I think that they did a good enough job last week.
Yeah, Robert Morris ranked to finish ninth in the Horizon League, which was pretty surprising to us. We really didn't expect that low of a ranking, especially for a team that had so much success in the NEC. You know, we expected them to be middle of the pack, because when you join a new conference, you know, traditionally you're not going to be running the whole entire ship, if you will, right off the bat. Having a Merrimack in the NEC for men's basketball and pretty much taking care of almost everybody in the conference right away, it typically doesn't happen. So applying that logic here, you expect Robert Morris to be typically probably in the 4-6 range, I would say, based on past season and returning all the starters. But yeah, battling injuries is tough. But when freshmen like Abby Ryan step up, who had 11 kills in the matchup number two, for Robert Morris, as well as Allison Londot's 9 kills and Skylar Clemens 7. You know, you really look at some of the hitting percentages, and there were errors as well, and you're going to get errors from the freshman. Ryan led the team in errors with 6. Annie Monica also had 3. So the problem with playing freshmen is you're going to be more susceptible to errors. And there's, because they're not as experienced playing the college game, it is possible that at key moments – the lights might be too bright, and you know, even though they are very talented and they might be playing very well, there might be a mistake in there that comes to the forefront.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, when I was talking to Coach Clark, or not Coach Clark, Coach Starr, he said that there was a lot of unforced errors, and you know, it's not like they even played bad in the first game or the second game. They just were outplayed in certain moments, and that really did them in. You know, getting challenges. No challenges really went their way during the series, and that did them in a little bit. And just not getting to the ball quick enough. You know, it could be just being out of action 431 days. Maybe they're not in the shape that they want to be. I mean, they are in good shape, obviously, but you know, I'm just surprised that they were ranked as low, like you said, in 9. But you can expect this team to slot into the middle of the pack in the conference, and they can make an impact.
Yeah, I really think so, and I think that starting out at home. Even though RMU wasn't able to win a match, I feel like going on the road, it's going to be a little bit more comforting because you were able to get that home start, especially trying to break into the conference. Now it's going to be difficult facing UIC, but I just think that what'll happen for RMU, they're going to find a way eventually. I thought they were going to win one game against Oakland, but you know, didn't happen, and that brings up the UIC series in Chicago. What are you looking forward to with Dale Starr's team?
You know, I'm looking forward to see if they do get healthier during these games, and if Nicolette Zanoli can play a full set. I mean, and the freshman to continue stepping up, especially Abby Ryan. I'm excited to see how she does, because she looks to be an important part of this offense going forward, and maybe a bit of a replacement for Emma Granger up in the front when she does graduate.
Yeah, hoping Granger's not out very long, obviously. That would be pretty much worst case scenario for Robert Morris with any shot of doing anything special in the Horizon League this season. So going off to face UIC, last time the Colonials faced the Flames was in 2009. September 27th, to be exact, against UIC on the road in Chicago. Colonials falling 3-2. So obviously a long time ago. And you know, there's the familiarity between the programs really is not there at all. So it's going to be a new environment. It's going to be different for Robert Morris for the most part, especially It's not going to get easier with UIC, as they are 2-0 with two home victories against Purdue Fort Wayne, defeating Purdue Fort Wayne 3-1 in the first match and 3-0 clean sweep in the second match on Tuesday. So another team that they're starting off pretty good. And I think for RMU, you gotta look at the freshmen to play well, but you gotta hope that Zanoli and Hudak can bring it together, find a way to, even though the season's young, but try to find a way to bring everything together, bring the team together. They're the leaders now as juniors without your senior leadership and senior stars in the lineup right now. I feel like they're going to be two major factors, and see how Elena Carmody plays in the back row too. She's going to be a key factor if Zanoli's not going to be able to play up to the same style that she did in past seasons.
Yeah, the Carmody did her best Zanoli impression, prior Zanoli impression, during the series as she could. I wouldn't expect Alfano to be out too long. She had a brace on her knee during the series, and maybe she was just held up for precautionary reasons for both games, because you don't want to aggravate a knee injury that'll keep you out longer. Maybe she'll be back at some point.
Right.
But if both Granger and her are traveling with the team, it's a good sign. And yeah, the freshmen once again need to step up.
Yeah, that it would be a good sign. I think Alfano is closer to returning than Granger, just because of, you know, like you mentioned, she's wearing the brace while Granger's in a boot. So you really wonder what her status is for the rest of the season. Pretty unfortunate, especially being such the dominant 2019 NEC Player of the Year she is. But Colonials will head on the road for their first series in Horizon League play, taking on the UIC Flames on February 1st at 7 o'clock Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Central Time, followed by a matchup on Tuesday, February 2nd in Chicago, 5 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Central Time. The 0-2 Colonials looking for their first victory in Horizon League play, taking on the undefeated Flames before a bye week for themselves to be able to try to regroup and see what goes on at that point before taking on for Purdue Fort Wayne on February 15th and 16th in Fort Wayne, Indiana. But that'll do it for this edition of The Dig. A little bit of a shorter edition, but that's okay. UIC coming up. We'll be back to talk about it after the Colonials take on UIC in Chicago.